Okay, just said if you brought some coffee, you'll be happy now, because who knows? Who just knows what's going to happen now? We are wrapping up our series from the book of Jonah, which I've really enjoyed. We've had Pastor Peter been part of the series, Pastor Sam last weekend part of the series, and we're coming to the fourth chapter. Here's just a little review of the book of Jonah. Your study guide will help you, but chapter one is pretty much, let me sum up chapter one like this. God says go, and Jonah says no. Now, to everyone in this place, God is saying go. He is saying it to every heart, every life, every man, every woman, every young child. He's saying go. If you say no when God says go, you are going to get in trouble. It's just best to follow God's plan for your life. God said, I want you to go to Nineveh, the capital of Assyria, the sworn enemies of Jonah's people, and I want you to go there and give them a message that their evil ways are not going to last forever. Did you know that evil does not last forever? It doesn't. God will set every evil right in his time. Well, for Nineveh, their time had come. And God said, I want you to go and I want you to tell them your evil has come up before the Lord 40 days and you guys are history. But Jonah said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to follow my own plan. He got in a boat. He was on his way to Tarshish, which is about 180 degrees away from where he should have been going. And a big storm came up, and the storm was overwhelming the ship. And Jonah says, I know how to solve this. Throw me overboard. I'm ready. I know I shouldn't have gone my own way. I shouldn't have rebelled against God. And so just throw me over. I'm at the end of my life. Just throw me overboard. I'll drown at sea. This is the way my life will end, at sea, going over the side. And so one, two, three, they threw him overboard, and God had prepared a great fish. We don't know if it was a whale or a white shark or just a fish that God made for Jonah called the Jonah fish. We don't know how that all worked out, but we do know he was swallowed by a great fish. And that's chapter number one. Now, chapter number two, once he was inside the fish, he did something very wise. And we all resolved, if we ever find ourselves in the belly of a fish in utter darkness, we all will do what Jonah did in chapter two. Do you remember what that was? Pray. Thank you very much. If you ever find yourself in utter darkness, pray. And he prays for the whole of the second chapter. The whole of the second chapter is a prayer to God. It is possible, and we taught that he died while he was inside that fish. And the story is actually a story of resurrection. Then God gave him a second chance. How many are glad that God gives his people that he loves another chance? He said, okay, I'm going to give you another chance. How many of you have needed another chance? How many of you need one today? That's okay. Yes, that's fine. You're in the right place. If you need another chance with God, you are in the right place. So God brings the fish and puts Jonah back on the shore, and he heads towards Nineveh, and he preaches. And Pastor Sam taught last week on chapter 3. He really goes into the city, and he says, okay, 40 days, and God is going to send judgment. And the people of Nineveh said, we repent. We are so sorry. We are going to stop our evil ways. We are going to turn away from darkness. We are going to turn towards God. And anytime you turn towards God and turn away from darkness, God is going to receive you. It doesn't matter how bad you are. Some people feel they have gone too far for the grace of God to reach them. Well, the Assyrians were known for skinning people alive. Have you ever done that? Okay, you're okay then. Everyone's done something. And 100, at least 120,000 people in one of the greatest revivals of all human history, a whole city, 120,000, in a few days, all turned towards God. Your neighbors would turn towards God. If it was, I would love that to happen right here. Everybody you know, everyone you are associated with, in a few days coming to God. That would be incredible. Let's pray for that. Not enough amens in the house on that, so I'm just going to say it again. Let's pray for that. Amen. Oh, you go, I don't know if God could do that. He did it already. Whatever's in this book, he can do again. Oh, I don't know about that. I would love to see a whole community come to God in a few days. Wow. Now, that's a great thing. But I can tell some of you are with Jonah on this, and you're not really happy about that. Because it would create problems, parking problems at church, and you wouldn't find a seat, and it would create problems. So you're a little hesitant on that. And Jonah was hesitant. You would think that if you were the preacher that preached to a city and the whole city came to God, that you would be walking on sunshine. You would think that he would be happy and joyous, but he's not. Chapter 4 is a story of Jonah's incredible anger issues that he had. And I'll just tell you, anger issues never help anything. Has anger in your life ever made anything better? In fact, when people get angry, they often do stupid stuff. How many of you know someone that's possibly sitting in the seat you're in right now that when they were angry did something that would be classified under the category of stupid stuff? I have. And the Bible teaches a lot about anger resolution. James, when he is writing, the brother of Jesus, as he writes his book, says we have to be very careful when we feel ourselves getting angry not to say stupid stuff. Oftentimes when people get angry, they open up their mouth and they say stuff they regret. And in chapter 4, Jonah said some stuff he should regret. Well, James tells us, hey, brothers and sisters, I want you to take note of this. In order to overcome and resolve your anger, be quick to listen and slow to speak. And slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Anger is opposite. Let's watch this. Anger is opposite to the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit produces love and joy and peace. And you can't have emotions of love and joy and peace when you are angry. Right? You can't. When you are angry, love goes out the window. When you are angry, there's not one bit of joy in anger. And for sure, for absolute sure, there's no peace with angry people. In fact, the Bible is always directing us to resolve our anger and to do it quickly. God gives you about 12 hours, right? When Paul is teaching in Ephesus, he says, when you get angry, don't get pulled into sin and into darkness. But while the sun is still up and shining, make sure you resolve your anger before the sun goes down. And then watch this, verse 27, very important. Because when you are angry, you actually give place to darkness, to evil, to the devil. You actually give him a place in your life. And when he gets a place in your life, he never does anything good. So resolve your anger. In fact, chapter 4 of Jonah is actually a study in mismanaged anger. Not anger management. We're calling this message anger mismanagement. And here's what the chapter teaches us, that we will mismanage our anger when we have it, if we don't resolve it. We mismanage it when we are angry because life turns out not the way we want it to, and we figure out there's a lot of things in life I'm not in control of. And some people, when they can't control everything, how many of you, don't put your hands up, but you know somebody that's been angry with you because they couldn't control you. How many are aware of this fact? That there's more going on in life that you can't control than you can control. There's huge stuff going on out there. And the chapter opens up with Jonah saying, God, you really didn't follow my plan. Jonah's plan was that God would send fire down and destroy Nineveh, or send an earthquake, or something to destroy them. Chapter 1 says, but the change of plans caused Jonah to become very angry. Because God wasn't doing, life wasn't turning the way he wanted it to do. We know what the change of plans is from last week's message in chapter 3. That when Jonah preached the message to Nineveh, that God softened his heart towards those people. When God saw that they had put a stop to their evil ways, it's in your study guide. When God saw that they had put a stop to their evil ways, it'll come, there it is. When God saw that they had put a stop to their evil ways, he abandoned his plans to destroy them. And Jonah wasn't happy about that. Jonah had a plan for Nineveh to be destroyed. Have you ever told God your plans? Maybe you did this morning. You got up this morning and said, God, I got some plans for today. Here's how my day should go. Number one, number two, number three, number four, number five. And when God looks at your plans, he doesn't follow your plan. He may do number two and then throw the rest away and do number 17. It's not even on your list. How many of you have figured out that life doesn't always go the way you want it to? And that can make people angry. And it made Jonah angry. He got so angry, and we see in verse 2 that he talks back to God. Now, it takes a huge ego to talk back to God about God's plans, but he says, come on, Lord. Come on, some of you have prayed that prayer. There it is right there. Come on. Come on, Lord. Wasn't this precisely my point when I was back in my own land? And this is why I didn't want to come over here to Nineveh, because I know how you are, God. This is why I fled to Tarshish. I know that you are merciful, and I know that you are compassionate, and I know that you are patient, and I know that you are faithful, and I know you really don't like destroying people. That's a good insight into God. God doesn't really want to destroy anyone. God is not willing that any should perish. God does not want anyone listening to me right now to be separated from God. God would like hell to be empty and heaven to be full. And Jonah says, God, I knew you would do this. God, you are not doing things the way I want you to. And we have to resolve in our lives that there's all kinds of things we don't control. Now, what's the one thing? What's the one thing that Jonah could have controlled? Yeah, this is very important. What's the one thing that Jonah could have controlled? What's the one choice that you make in the midst of all things happening around you? What's the one choice that you can always make? When you start to feel angry, be very in touch with this truth. I'm angry because of me. You think you're angry because of them, but you really are angry because of me. Not me. You, I mean it's you. Because Jonah could have been, watch this, Jonah could have been the star of Nineveh. Just imagine, okay, imagine that you are the minister of the town and the whole town comes to God. Well, I think that'd be a pretty good ministry. So if I started walking the streets of Sarasota and everyone I talked to came to God, every single person, every single one, I think the ministry would be pretty good. Mayor is right with God. City council's right with God. Congressmen are right with God. Okay. He could have been the star. The whole town loved him. We were going to be destroyed, but now you brought this ministry and now we're not going to be destroyed. They would love him, but because of his anger that God didn't do it his way, he prays in a wild prayer. Watch this prayer. Watch, you need to learn this. Anger usually comes because of some hurt, because life didn't go the way you thought it should. And the hurt creates anger. And watch this, and anger creates depression. Anger creates depression. You want to see if Jonah's depressed? Look at his prayer in verse 3. Okay, Lord, now here's my prayer. I want to die. That's not a good prayer. That's depression. When you pray that way, you're depressed. And he said, okay, just take me out of here. Just, Lord, just end it right now. I know I've been the minister for the greatest revival in human history. Kill me. Anger just skews life. He should have been happy, but he's depressed. And then God asks this question. And if you're battling with anger today, God asks the same question to you. Listen, here's a question from the Lord to you. Is it right for you to be angry? And the implied answer is no. Way, Jose. Yeah, that's Hebrew. That's in the Hebrew text right there. It's implied answer. No way, Jose. So Jonah is angry because God's plans weren't his plans. I want to show you another reason why he mismanaged his anger. And you'll mismanage your anger as well if you don't get this. When you are unforgiving towards people that God is forgiving towards, it will cause your anger to multiply and you will mismanage your anger. Here's what the text says. Verse 5. After Jonah had preached and everybody came to God, he didn't stay in the city, hey, praise God, I'm glad you got right with God. Wow, awesome, you guys are right with God. Now he left the city. He goes out onto a hillside on the east side of the city where he can sort of look down at Nineveh. He made himself a little lean-to, a little shelter, so he'd have a little shelter from the sun and a little shade. And he, verse 5, he wanted to see what would become of the city. Well, here's what happened. He went in and he said, 40 days God is going to destroy you. Right away, the people turned to God. We don't know if that was in the first week or the first day. We don't know how long it took 120 people to come to God. But they did it quickly. Well, there still were 40 days. So he's up there, well, maybe after 40 days they'll be destroyed. He's waiting for them. He's not up on the hillside going, wow, oh God, you're just going to visit this city by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's going, I'm looking down here because God, 40 days. Maybe some fire will fall. 40 days, maybe an earthquake, possibly. God had been forgiving and gracious towards Nineveh, but it wasn't in Jonah's heart. He was unforgiving towards the people that God was forgiving towards. Now, let me point this out. The very person that you are angry with today, or that you will get ticked off with this week, that very person, Jesus hung on the cross to pay for their forgiveness. If you want to learn how to resolve anger, start looking at people the way God looks at them, not the way that you look at them. At the very core of Anger resolution is the power of forgiveness. It's at the very core of every resolved moment of anger. It's not justifying the other person. It's not saying we're going to be best buddies. It's not saying I'm going to trust you in the future. It just says God has been willing to forgive you, and so I am willing to forgive you. Every person sitting here has been wronged by someone. Some of you are being wronged by someone right now. But when Jesus hung on the cross, he loved that person so much that he paid for their forgiveness. If they would only ask for it, if they would only reach out and receive it, they could be forgiven. So don't you be unforgiving towards someone that God has already been forgiving towards. So, Jonah was angry because things didn't turn out the way he thought they would. He was angry because he was unforgiving towards those God had forgiven. And the third thing I want to point out from this chapter is this, and it creates anger in us when we major on the minor things, when we get all upset about dumb little things. In fact, can you remember the last time you got really angry? You don't have to tell him, it's not a confession time, but Or can you remember a time that you got angry? More than likely, and virtually in every case, it was over a dumb little thing. The last fight you had with your spouse. Let's get personal now. I know the last time I got slightly ticked at Darla. It was a dumb little thing. And here's the point of chapter 4, because while Jonah's sitting there up on the hillside, waiting for some fire to fall, see what's going to happen to the sea, God, if you read verses 6, 7, and 8, God creates a plant that kind of grows up, and it must have been a leafy plant, and it gave him some extra cover and some extra shade, and he was so happy. He was so happy with this plant. He loved that. Oh, he loved the plant. Oh, thank you, God, for this plant. Thank you so much for the plant. But then the Bible says a little worm came up, and it ate the leaves off, or it somehow destroyed the whole plant, and in one day the plant was there, and then it was gone. Now get this. When you don't resolve your anger, it's only going to get worse. Unresolved anger tends to multiply. And so, what happened when this plant died? It made Jonah. I'm going to do a Sam Farina. It made him angrier. So he was already angry, because God wasn't following his plans and God was too forgiving, too gracious. And then the plant dies. The plant died. The plant died. Now get this. Jonah is concentrating on the plant while God is concentrating on the people. Here's what God says in verse 9. Jonah, you ever talk to someone that's angry? You got to get their attention. Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about this plant? And look at Jonah's answer. It's right. You are darn right, it's right. I'm so angry. I'm angry even to death over a plant. I don't know if you have a green thumb or not. I've killed a lot of plants in my life. But I've never grieved over a plant to the point of death. How many can just see that his judgment was skewed? Why? Because that's what anger does. Anger just makes everything, huge! Oh my goodness, a plant died! The plant died, so I gotta die! Now, for those of you that have some anger issues, I want to now just give you the way that anger is resolved. I've already said it. I'm just going to say it again. We resolve our anger when we realize how much people matter to God. We resolve our anger when we realize how much people, when we stop looking at people through our agendas, our unforgiveness, and our majoring on minor issues, and we start to see how much God loves people. And God loves people that have been very, 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 very wicked. He loves people who have done bad things. The Ninevites, the Assyrians, they were known for their wickedness. Did God still love them? Yes, he did. Because people that are far away from God matter to God. And when we start to see God's heart for people, it helps us not to manage our anger. I'm not really into anger management. I'm into anger resolution. I don't want to manage anger. It's like having a rabid dog. There's nothing good about a rabid dog. Nothing. Nothing. You say, I'm just going to keep it around. You have to put it away. You got to get rid of it. So that's what you have to do with anger. You've got to resolve it. You've got to put it away. You've got to move to forgiveness. You've got to move to see people the way that God does. Here is the last verse of the book that we've been studying for these weeks. And watch it. Look very carefully at this verse. Because this is a verse that kind of leaves Jonah hanging. His anger is not resolved. Is not resolved in this book, which is interesting because Jonah wrote the book. Here's how the last verse is God speaking to Jonah, and God says, hey, you are so interested in the plant. You've got great love for the plant, great pity for the plant. I'm interested in the people. Let me tell you, when God looks at Sarasota, when God looks at Venice, when God looks at Bradenton, when God looks at Palmetto, God is looking at the people. He loves the people. He says, you're interested in the plant. That's a minor issue. I'm interested in the things that are very, very important. You didn't make this plant grow. You didn't cause it to come up overnight. You had nothing to do with this plant. Verse 11 says, God's heart, this is the last verse of the Bible, of the book now, verse 11. Nineveh had approximately 120,000 people. That's what I'm interested in. I'm not interested in the minor issues. I'm interested in the major issue. And people that are far away from God have God's heart and have God's attention. They're living in spiritual darkness, not to mention their animals. He's interested in the whole family. Watch how the book ends. It ends with a question mark. Here's God asking Jonah, shouldn't I feel sorry for the people of this great city? Question mark. End of book. The end. We don't know. We don't know if Jonah resolved his anger. We don't know if he's kept angry. It just ends with a question mark. We don't know if Jonah ever resolved his relationship with God. Question mark. But there doesn't have to be a question mark after your name. You don't have to this morning wonder if you can resolve with God. Because you can. It doesn't matter how far away you have drifted from God. You can come back home. That's what Jonah's story tells us. When Jonah needed a second chance, what did God do? Gave him a second chance. When all of Nineveh needed another chance, what did God do? He gave them another chance. And what will God do in your life? He will give you another chance. You can receive that today in Jesus' name. That's why Jesus came, to resolve not only your anger issues, to resolve all of your issues, which he can do today by the power and the presence of his Spirit that is in this place. And we're going to pray, because when we pray, we get God's attention. And I'm going to invite you to close your eyes and to open your heart where you are. In a moment, I'm going to lead in a prayer of resolution. A prayer of resolution with God. A prayer that says, God, I don't want to be far from your family. I don't want to be far from your plan. I want to be in your plan. I want to be in your purposes, God. I want to be where you want me to be. Jesus, I want you to be my Savior and I want you to be my Lord. And as I pray this prayer, I would like you to be included, you to have God's attention in this prayer. And if you're going to pray with me, and this is an important prayer for you to be in God's family, not far away, for Jesus to be your Savior and to be your Lord, I'm just going to ask you to let me know, hey, Scott, I want you to include me as we pray this prayer. I want to be included in that prayer through just doing two things. We're not going to embarrass you, I promise. We're not going to embarrass you. But I'm going to ask you to put your hand up high enough for me to see it, and then to lift your eyes until we make eye contact, because you matter to God, you matter to me, you matter to this church family, and you matter to Jesus. And if you want to be included in this prayer, just put your hand up high enough for me to see so I can acknowledge you. And then we pray, I'll know what's going on in your heart and in your life. How many would do that? Put your hand up high enough for me to see, and then just take it down. God bless you. Let me see your eyes too. God bless you. God bless you guys. God bless you. Just hold it up until I see you. God bless you. Thanks. God bless you. Right here. God bless you. Right way back. God bless you. Right up here at the front. God bless you guys. Glad. Just pray. Jesus will hear your heart. Right there, God. God bless you. Glad you're here today. God sees your heart. God bless you. God sees your heart. God, we acknowledge you. Thank you. We thank you. You're going to pray with us. We're going to believe God together for a fresh start, a new beginning in your life. I don't want to miss anybody if I didn't see you. Hey, I see you, pal. God bless you. Thanks. We're going to pray together in a moment. I want you to pray. I want you to believe. I want you to trust God. If I didn't see you, just wave at me a little bit, because we're going to pray in just a moment. As we stand together now, I'm going to ask everyone to stand, not embarrassing anybody, because we're all going to stand together. Everyone stands together, and everyone's going to pray together. Our prayer team is going to come, but we're all praying together this prayer out loud. The Bible says, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, and a miracle will take place. So we believe in our heart in Jesus Christ, that when he died on the cross, he absorbed all of our guilt, all of our shame, all of our sin. He takes it all away. He resolves our life to God. And because he's forgiven you so much, you can be forgiving towards others, not managing your anger, but finding resolution. And so here's our prayer. Everyone, please, everyone praying out loud. Good, strong prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I open my life to Christ. Come into my heart to be my Savior, to be my Lord. I repent of my sins and I turn towards you, Lord, to receive your forgiveness, your love, your mercy. Thank you for never giving up on me. Thank you for giving me another chance. Now help me to follow Jesus every day of my life. In Jesus' name, everyone says amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless the Lord. That's a good prayer. That prayer makes heaven happy. And our prayer team is here. We want to pray for those who are making commitments to Christ. We want to pray for every need you may have. Every need. That's what we're here. And while the prayer team is going to pray in a moment, the communion tables will open if you'd like to receive Holy Communion today and fellowship with Jesus. Remember Jesus in the communion. You're welcome. You don't have to be a member of this church to have communion, just a friend of Jesus. You don't have to be a member of this church to receive prayer. I will tell you that if you will pray, a miracle will take place. God answers prayer. He says in Jeremiah 33, call unto me, pray to me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things. And that's why we pray in all of our services, because when we pray, God does more in a moment than a doctor can do in a year. And so we want to welcome his presence and his power too. That I'm going to pray a blessing on your life, and after that blessing, there's no other benediction. You're welcome to come and pray. You're most welcome to come and pray. You're most welcome to receive communion. The worship team will worship. You're most welcome to worship, to go with the grace of God. If you've been a guest with us today, thanks so much. Thank you so much for coming, and we'd like to meet you. I'd like you to just stop by the VIP room. That's because you are a VIP, and it's over on your left-hand side. We have some gifts we'd like to give you, and just say hi to you. And so I want to pray. It's over there. And then would you just receive this blessing from the Lord? as I pray, God, over your family that you love. Some people actually came in today angry. This message has been very important in their lives because mismanaged anger will actually separate them from the plan of God. And I pray, God, that they would walk in forgiveness and in resolution and in peace, in those beautiful things that the Holy Spirit does. May you live a life of incredible love. May you love God, love people, love life. May you live a life of incredible joy. May you receive the abundant life that Christ promises you. And may you live a life of peace. Peace with God and peace with his people. In Jesus' name I bless you, and in Jesus' name you are very, very blessed. And everybody says, amen. Let's give the Lord a praise. Wonderful to be together. So glad you're here. And please, come forward for prayer and communion. If you'd like to receive this free booklet, Now What to Help You in Your Spiritual Journey, the prayer team has one for you. The worship team is going to come, and we're just going to turn our hearts towards the Lord Jesus. Praise be to the Lord.